Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, featuring some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had quite the fiery intro. It was almost like Andy, or both of us really, were Newcastle fans. We raged
upset about it,
on
really,
their behalf. Yeah. And Andy's trying to galvanise the VAR-hating fan base to march with lit torches on the equivalent of Frankenstein's castle. Anyway, you'll hear all of that. Also weighing in on that, trying to explain and putting the point of view of the lawmakers was Martin Lipton, who spent some time in their company. Doesn't necessarily agree with them, he just knows what they say. So we spoke to him and he explained a bit more than, but he convinced us that's not his fault, it's their fault.
It's their fault.
What else did we do? Ian Stone joined us, Arsenal comedian, of course. They're in action against Lens tonight, more or less home and hosed.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it.
A point will get them top in the group. It's been different this year, the way they've played differently. There's been some interesting comments about why that is. Well, we got Ian's take on that. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And we spoke a lot about VAR. We had Mr. VAR Dow Johnson on yesterday. Here we are again doing exactly the same thing.
But for me, it's not about VAR. It's about the laws. How these people from IFAB can sit down and discuss adding more VAR to a game that doesn't need it, while completely ignoring the handball rule, which is absolutely ludicrous. Mm. And the offside, everybody knows, everybody wants it to be the same. Alan was saying on breakfast this morning, yes, you know, if there's a gap, then you're onside, that's it. You know. Then you're offside, rather. Otherwise, you're onside. And the handball thing, that's never, ever handball. And they've proved it by standing down the VAR.
But yeah. Let's name him, shall we? Thomas Kwiatkowski.
Well named.
Thomas Kwiatkowski is the VAR who sent Marciniak the ref. Very experienced ref.
No, the VAR should never be allowed to officiate again, ever.
They should take his telly away.
Take him away.
Right.
I mean, what's disappointing is that a top referee that's done the World Cup final and the Champions League final doesn't have enough confidence in himself to overrule these people.
I know.
You know, as soon as they go to the screen, we all know what's going to happen. Just nice, wouldn't it have been last night if he turned around and went, no, I'm not giving that. That's ridiculous. That is not handball. Yeah. It wasn't handball. Even by the current rules was that handball, but
you can count on the fingers of a mitten, can't you, how many times that's happened. Çakır is the only one, the Turkish referee, the Peter Lorre lookalike.
Yeah.
He's one of the few people who's gone to a monitor and said, no, that's rubbish. I'm sticking with what I originally said. You rarely see it.
It's
and
so
a referee as big as that. I've said to you before, the senior refs in this country, especially Michael Oliver, they referee on a different plane. They referee it as they see it, and they're not overruled a lot of the time by VAR. So I was surprised that he let it go. But I would imagine Mr. Kwiatkowski will be in the rogues gallery for Newcastle fans. They're going to put one in years to come. You know, who knows, they may be winning the Champions League and they say, remember that night in Paris when we drew 1-1?
They just were brilliant last night. They deserved to win the game. I know Paris had a lot of chances, a lot of the game, but the way they played in the first half, they outplayed them completely. In the second half, they hung on brilliantly. You know, they deserved something out of the game. They were cheated. They were, no other word for it, they were robbed, cheated, whatever way you want to look at it. And Kalina, honestly, no one wants to see referees abused, but this is what he said yesterday coming out of that meeting. On abuse and physical dangers facing referees. This might be the cancer that kills football. You think to yourself, are you serious, mate? What about you and your terrible committee and your terrible laws that you've come up with that have really ruined football? I think that might kill football a long time before. And also, if you've got the laws right, the referees wouldn't be so abused, would they?
Your point about layers of more VAR, more technology to deal with existing problems, rather than stripping the whole thing back and saying, let's have a look at what's worked and what hasn't, and what can we get better, what can we take away. They think it's a great idea to add more layers. The maddest one is there's no 6 second rule anymore.
No, it's the 10 second
rule. We'll talk to Martin Lipton about this later on, who's across all this. It's the 10 second rule, but if you go over 10 seconds, you give a corner to the other team. Where did that come from?
They're so thick. They've already got the powers to deal with time wasting. They just don't use them. I know for a fact that one of the referees in a Premier League game, and I know this for a fact, I can't say why I know, but I do, was told, book this particular goalkeeper in the first half for time wasting, and he refused to do it.
Yeah.
So they've got the powers to do it.
Sure.
Because they don't like, okay, so they have to send them up. You know, do it properly. That's how it sounds like to me, the way they referee. I mean, last night there was a moment when Dembele tried to keep the ball in, but he didn't. It went up for a throw. And they got on with it. It was a throw. The new regime, there'll be 2 minutes to decide whether it's a throw or not. It's pathetic.
One of the things Colleen has said as well, he said all formal recommendations of trials to emerge from the FIFA-led review of VAR, he says, should not result in any additional delays.
How is that going to work?
If you add more layers of technology and interference by officials and VAR, then how's it not going to lead to longer delays? I mean, it's just bonkers. And I said they've got this advisory panel. The crux of why I'm with Newcastle is that the advisory panel have absolutely no power at all. They are just, I mean, they obviously have some fantastic five-star hotel trips to Switzerland.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
But they have no real power at all. And there's a lot of big names on there, a lot of very knowledgeable people, including Arsene Wenger and Figo and Boban and Aaron Hughes and the former US coach.
They should know better.
Jill Ellis. And they've said, you've got to tweak these handball rules. And they've said to UEFA to do this, but they've taken no notice of it, effectively, and just gone their merry way.
So much arrogance with these people.
Mr. VAR, Dale Johnson, posted a table earlier on of the handball decisions made in big games.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And, I mean, honestly, in the Champions League, 46 in 197 games. La Liga, 57 in 518. That's the drop-off. In the Premier League, 31 in 500. So we've kind of... we've rebelled against what UEFA ideally would like us to do. But in the Champions League, 46 handball decisions made, penalties. That's penalties from handball in 197 games. That's ridiculous.
But how many more officials have to be stood down before they do something? Because really, that is so
abhorrent. I don't think it's the officials. You've got Marciniak last night.
Was wrong. Last night they got it wrong. Well, they know they've got it wrong because they stood the two blokes down. But, you know, they should stand them down, not for one game. And I heard a bloke on Breakfast this morning saying, don't relegate the referees into the Championship. Why should we have them? He's absolutely right. They should be suspended. If they're banned, if they do something wrong, and Webb or Colleen or whoever thinks that the referee's made a mistake, they should not drop to a lower level. Yeah. They should basically be punished.
I was once told by a then League One manager that there was a referee that they were absolutely all sick of in the EFL.
Yeah,
so they marked him up to the eyeballs until the Premier League started looking at him. He ended up on the Premier League list, so they got him out of their hair. So that's the way it works. Anyway, a couple of things.
Did wonder finally whether Snoop Dogg and his bongs were at the IFAB meeting, because I don't know how you could explain what came out of it, really.
Some of the stuff, it was almost like someone was in the corner playing a sitar. It was like, wasn't it? It was like the Beatles meeting the Maharishi at times. They're all sitting around in a circle and saying, it's a bit like the thick of it, yes and, isn't it? When they throw the stuff to each other, they throw the beanbag to each other, and somebody has to say, corners if your time waste, yes and. Yeah. It's probably like that, isn't it?
But I have seriously suggested this to the management, and I hope they take me up on it.
Yeah.
The next IFAB meeting is in Glasgow on March the 2nd, and I want to mobilise all TalkSport listeners who care about this, and we march on the meeting. No, we do. We've got placards.
You're going to march on IFAB.
It's the only way to show them that they're ruining the game, and we let Jim stand there doorstepping them as they walk in, and we don't let them get away with it. We let them know. Imagine if there were 1,000...
Can we boo them? Or
1,000 TalkSport listeners can we boo outside them, the
Andy,
meeting.
Are you allowing booing?
I'm allowing
light
any,
booing?
Well, being. Booing, not being.
Not being. Well, they've got to be. Not being. On a very basic level, they've got to be.
I don't mind, as long as it's peaceful. It's got to be a peaceful
being
process.
Slightly facetious. But anyway, your club's rogues gallery. So Newcastle fans, I don't know, you could stick the ref in there, but it's the VAR who's been stood down. So from now on, Newcastle fans, you'll be talking about that lino. Kwiatkowski, he's on your on your list. So who are the one? Yeah, who have you got? Henning Vrabo, he's Chelsea's. He's one who always comes up. The referee who sawed you off.
I think Anthony Taylor's got a permanent place yeah. there, really.
It needn't be referees. It could be anybody. It could be players. It could be, but, you know, you'd have a rogues gallery at your club, someone you yeah. blame for something. It probably goes back years.
Well, I'm going with the new ownership and the directors of football.
Okay. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. You can give us some of those. Also, what happens when you're distracted by sport? Anton Deck, I showed a picture this morning of a TV monitor below their auto cue. They were, obviously, they were live on air doing I'm a Celebrity last night. And the Newcastle game was on, but they had a telly set up below their auto cue. So imagine, though, when they equalise, I'm surprised they managed to keep concentrating.
Better watching that than watching I'm a Celebrity. Yeah. I hate that show.
Well, wow. Okay. Well, more on that probably when we speak to when we speak to Mike Ward next week. But when you were distracted by sport, we'd like to know, what was it that distracted you and what was the outcome of it? Maybe it was straight down a manhole. Who knows? But do let us know what happened when you were distracted, whether it was on TV or in person. Let us know this afternoon. 0371 722 3344.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
One kiss is all it takes. Falling in love with me. Possibilities.
Sin bins, corners for time wasting, etc., etc., are all interesting potential law changes that could be coming to a football ground near you soon, because IFAB, the people that decide on all this sort of stuff,
Is anything less fab than IFAB?
No, that's very true. Met up in London yesterday. Martin Lipton went along to hear what they had to say. Good afternoon from the Sun, of course. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon. I'm refreshed from 4 hours waiting for people to turn up and talk to me. So it's a joy as ever at an IFAB meeting. So the IFAB, not even IFAB, it's the IFAB.
The
it's a definite article.
Do you ever hear from the advisory board, although we've now discovered, of course, they are completely toothless because they were recommending changes to Champions League handball laws and didn't get anywhere. So, do you ever get a chance to speak to Arsene Wenger or Boban?
Occasionally.
Figo,
well,
these
see,
people?
Boban's on the UEFA advisory board, whereas the FIFA advisory board, there's two of them. There's the FAP and the TAP. Don't ask me about the acronym.
The FAP and the TAP.
But they do exist, and we occasionally get to speak to them at various functions. Wenger's the most accessible because he always talks whenever you speak, whenever you see him, he'll talk if he knows you. And, you know, having known him for 30 years, that helps, I guess.
Do you think Kalina realises he's ruining football? Do they not understand what they've done and how much people hate what they've done?
Yeah, fans, I was going to say, Mark, do you sense that he thinks everything's going rather swimmingly at the moment?
He thinks that they've improved the game. I'm not here to judge. I'm saying that they believe that the changes are for the better, that they think they've brought more clarity, which is what most people would disagree with in truth and certain decisions. They also believe that the advent of increased technology in terms of the basic offside stroke, over the line, etc. decisions will be quicker and quicker, so that will be much easier for people to accept, even if it's very, very tight.
This idea that, I mean, looking at the thought process, they want to come down harder on goalkeepers wasting time. So they say 6 seconds maybe is not enough. And maybe an indirect free kick, if you reach that sort of limit, that's a bit unfair. It's a bit too extreme. So let's make it 10 seconds and then let's have a corner. But it's still going to be a corner, for goodness sake. Where does that come from?
I think the argument is because it gives you a chance of a goal, but not a clear shot at goal, which a free kick gives you for an act of holding on to the ball too long. We're not talking about the waiting 30 seconds to take a goal kick, because that's supposed to be added on by the referee anyhow, and they're supposed to caution.
But then we all know they don't.
They are adding the time on, because the average Premier League match is now lasting 11 minutes.
It will still be
an
arbitrary 10 seconds, though, Martin, because there's no clock on
but
it,
they can
is
start. The referees are going to be told they should start counting once the goalkeeper has the ball in their arms under
control. Every time he's got it, that's ridiculous.
Well, don't you think it overcomplicates it?
It's
just another layer of nonsense. It's layer upon layer, a sort of labyrinthine game we've ended up with, which is fundamentally a very simple sport that it just seems to be having layers of nonsense put on top of it.
I do think that the more they try to make things easier, the harder it actually gets. I think that's a legitimate complaint. And I do sometimes wonder whether if you paired it right back, it wouldn't be easier for everyone, or better for everyone. The trouble is, no one accepted decisions that went against them before. Mm. That's why VAR came in, and now they won't accept decisions that go against them now. And I thought, to be fair, Eddie Howe was pretty good yesterday, as Gary O'Neill had been on Monday. But they might start to think, well, if we're getting nothing for being nice, why don't we be nasty? Because there didn't seem any punishment against, Klopp seems to have had a few decisions going his way since he went off on one. Arteta as well.
So, Simbins, let's talk about that. Because tactical fouling, there would be a very awkward period of adjustment because there are certain teams, we all know they are, they're brilliant at tactical fouling. And you could have, you could have three or four players all sitting there in the sin bin. So, I mean, I suppose they would argue, well, that will stop teams doing it because that's they don't like the cynicism of a move breaking. Now, Mark Bullingham is part of IFAB, of course, saying that we don't like that cynicism in the game. But there would be teams down to sort of 7 men for 10 minutes, potentially.
Yeah. And if you can't score against 7 men for 10 minutes, you're Tottenham, aren't you? You know what I mean? But you know what? I mean, what I think it would mean is that there'd be much more emphasis put on coaching with 11 against 10 and 9, whereas now you get the emphasis of coaching on 10 against 11.
Mm.
The balance, because there'd be so many occasions, and when you'd have the extra man, I think it would actually change the way coaches worked on how to break teams down who dropped into that block. In the last 10 minutes of a game, the extra man can be really, really critical, I suspect. And the argument is that the things you want to stop are dissent, because it's a curse across the game, and what they talk about as anti-football, which isn't mistiming a tackle. If you mistime a tackle and bring the bloke down, that's going to be a yellow card.
Right.
If you do not even attempt to make a tackle and just grab hold of the shirt, which is only ever a yellow card, that should be worse than a yellow card. It's not enough for a red, but we want that to be... It's like repeat offending in rugby union gets a symbol, you know, when they're wrong, the next penalty is going to be a yellow card.
Mm.
The interesting thing, of course, is in rugby union, they work out that a sin bin is worth 7 points to the other team, as it were.
Right.
I suspect in football it'd be worth 0.3 of a goal. So you get in 10 games you might get 3 goals scored by the team with the extra man advantage.
I just don't understand how they don't realise this wonderful game that people love, that they grew up loving, that the more they fiddle with it, the worse it gets. The more they in the history of football, coaches have always and players always looked to exploit whatever rules come in. Why don't they understand that?
Well, I think they do, and they feel that this is me arguing their position rather than necessarily
what you think.
Put in their position. Hmm. Their argument is that they have a duty to try to stop football being a game of negativism. They want it to be a positive game on the ball.
Yeah.
And they want to reward the teams who try to attack and the teams that play within the laws, and to punish those who go out with the laws, who are deliberately bending the rules, the laws as far as they can and even further, and getting away with it currently. Now, you may argue that this isn't the ideal answer. I mean, the other thing they talked about was ref captains only trial to talk to referees.
Like rugby again.
Again, yeah. Trying to bring a bit more discipline. They really are concerned at player behaviour from the top to the bottom.
So, if they weren't so terrible, and if the laws weren't so wrong, surely the players wouldn't be so angry. I mean, it just drives people mad.
I think you're making excuses for the players a lot. I mean, I think there is a problem with dissent, and there certainly is at grassroots. We hear it from the guys on ref support all the time. There's a lot of ongoing problems. I mean, sin bins, the practicality of having sin bins on a Sunday morning.
In place at the moment, aren't they? In grassroots football.
Yeah.
Below a certain tier, they're being used now. And they will look to scale that up, that potentially as high as professional football, although I doubt that initially. I think that might be a couple of years down the line. But I do think it's an idea which is going to come. I think if the trials are seen as successful in the professional or the semi-professional game as they have been in the grassroots game, it looks that's the direction of travel.
Do you potentially see a sort of bunk? I mean, one way to keep the game going quicker is that when they rock and roll over a tackle and they want to make their minds up about whether it's a red card or a yellow card, and it can take 2 or 3 minutes. What we've seen in rugby in the World Cup is we have the bunker, don't we?
Didn't work either.
Well, somebody goes in with a yellow, and then you're looking at it in real time, and then you come back and you have to say, well, that was worthy of the red card. You give yourself more time to look at it.
I think that would be a retrograde. But at the moment, under the plans they have, a second yellow is still going to be a red card. A red card foul is still going to be a red card. A bad foul, if it's deemed a yellow and not upgraded by VAR, remains yellow. There won't be a sin bin for either way.
It's for
cynical play and dissent. Those are the two specifics that at this moment they're looking to penalise with this.
But it is very interesting that the Cardiff manager, Errol Bulut, Or, that's how you pronounce it. Wants to see VAR in the championship. And Emma Hayes said this, she wants to see it in women's football. So if you haven't got it, people want it. And if you have got it, people want to get rid of it. It's really a problem.
The reason people want VAR in the game, I said, man, it's true, is so they concede fewer goals.
Hmm.
Because the more goals are disallowed by VAR than are allowed. And every manager wants to concede fewer goals. So it's a defence blanket for them that gives them an extra chance of a goal that would otherwise have been awarded being disallowed. And that's why they're in favour, because if they concede too many goals, they get the sack.
Finally, Martin, how long will it take them to roll this out? When do you think we could see stuff like this? When could we see corners for time wasting?
I think that would be 25-6 rather, right, okay. The earliest, because it isn't actually a proposal for the law change for next season. So it will probably be for the season after. Sin bins will be trialled from next season, but we don't yet know the level at which they'll be trialled. But I would think a medium-sized European league will be quite high up in taking them.
And off. Just finally, did they talk about the handball law at all? Did Kalina mention that it's a bit too complex and they'd like to?
No, the only thing they have changed the handball law though. Now if it's a deliberate handball in the penalty box by a defender, it will be a red card. Whereas at the moment, so if you're on the line. And you block it.
Yeah.
And it's.
I thought that was the case.
No, but if you block it on the line, it's a red card.
Mm.
If it's not a deliberate block on the line, if it hits your arm on the line, off your body, for example,
right. Okay.
They have the leeway to make it a yellow from next season.
Okay.
Trying to make it in line with a foul, because if you give a penalty away for a foul, but you're playing the ball, it's a yellow. It's only if you're not playing the ball that it's a red. They want it to bring that into line for handballs as well.
You can't get a yellow when it's not your fault. I mean, what, Livramento could have got a yellow last night for that. Ridiculous.
Well, that's
pathetic.
But it was a penalty, so therefore he could be booked for it.
What could he do about it?
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that...
I'm not an advocate.
It's
not Kalina's mouthpiece. What a thought.
Martin, people think of that of me, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Martin. That's Martin Lipson from The Sun, who was in the inner sanctum yesterday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Andy's turned into Saggers.
I am.
So angry.
I'm very
so angry. Yes, I am. I think you're right to be. I mean, I can only imagine what you would have been like if it had been Chelsea. Blimey.
Mm.
We'd have been burning effigies of Kalina and Ellery, wouldn't we? Mm. We do like the idea that Andy wants us to march on Glasgow. He's slightly lost the plot.
I haven't. It's a good idea.
Even this Newcastle fan said, oh, a bit over the top. They might join us. We march from Newcastle to Glasgow. It's a hell of a march.
No, we do a show. We set up outside the meeting and right. on a desk and we have our...
So we have a brazier.
Yeah.
Do we say
and we're broadcasting from there.
And we say to people, honk if you agree that VAR should go and the cars...
Absolutely.
And we give the cars a wave. Okay, fair enough. We'll do that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
People still reacting to VAR and law changes and stuff today. Mm. One of the listeners, I'll put his name on this, he says, the thing is that we as fans and you as the media have brought this on ourselves by complaining about genuine mistakes in the pre-VAR era. It's very true.
Yeah, it's
a lesson to be careful what you wish for. And I think that is all very true.
Yeah.
I think so many people now realise that, you know, I mean, we'd all go and sort of... The referees would get a standing ovation.
They're going to make a pathetic hash of it in the way they have, don't
they? To be fair, I think Adrian Durham was pretty worried about it back in the day. He would preach that, but anyway. Andy, what else do you want to talk about?
Our friend Neil, the Brighton fan, is off to Athens to see the match with his son.
That'd be good.
I told him not to mention the marbles.
Oh, yeah. Don't
mention the marbles.
They're a bit touchy about the marbles at the moment. That is
definitely.
That is
and
true.
I was thinking last night, what a great save by Nick Pope from Bradley Barcola. I've never liked Barcola. I prefer the real thing. It's that nozzle.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Thank you very much. Somebody tell Ronnie Wood to put away the Cesare Maldini aubergine hair dye.
Okay.
That's such a poor look there. You know, when you're 72, you're going to have grey hair. You're not going to have aubergine hair.
No.
And your skin tones match your grey. That's the whole point as you get older.
Mm.
So as soon as you do that, you look absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, and I'm sure Ronnie will take that on board.
Well, he won't be bothered at
all. Or maybe they'll just write a song called Aubergine Air for the next Stones album.
I did once play Cluedo with him in a hotel.
I played Cluedo with Ronnie Wood.
Yeah.
Did you really?
I did, yeah. It was a long time ago.
Who was it? Can you remember? Was it Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with a lead piping?
It was in... It was in a place where Colonel Pugwash is.
Who's right. Colonel Pugwash?
Not Colonel Pugwash. Captain Pugwash. Not Colonel Pugwash.
He was a naval man. I think you'll find...
I promoted him.
He wasn't in the army.
That's the one I preferred, Colonel Pugwash.
The long-awaited spin-off to Captain Pugwash.
It was this beautiful hotel in Rye, that was it, in Rye in Sussex.
Hang on, Captain Pugwash was made of cardboard. He never had a place. Are you all right?
The bloke who did him, the bloke, John Ryan, I think his name was, I can't remember, John Ryan's
John
Express.
John Ryan's Express. Yeah, I can't remember. The bloke that did it. Do you know when you talk to your nan?
No, because
the reason I know this is
I tried to get Captain Pugwash on Fantasy Football. Ah. I explored the idea of getting him on, but it didn't work because it was basically...
He's not a real person, then.
It was the whole way it was done. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So I went to his house in Rye. But anyway, that's by the by. I also played Cluedo with Ronnie Wood in Rye.
What was Ronnie Wood doing there? Was he also looking...
Yeah, I think he was having, you know, I think he was with somebody. I won't say who he was with. She was quite well known. But,
okay.
It was a long time ago. Showbiz gossip.
It's the Dutch second division.
Absolutely.
Was Steve McLaren there as well?
It was when we were first married. It's got to be like 48 years ago. It was a long time.
He
won't remember it.
Well, I wouldn't think so.
No.
Wouldn't it be great if he had that photographic memory and then he'd say, yeah, he definitely was.
He was with another...
It was Miss Scarlett.
Another rock star
in the library.
Woman, I
think. With the revolver.
I'm prepared to say.
Another rock star woman.
It's all right. Rock stars woman. I'm not prepared to say any more at this stage.
Okay. I'm not trying to get it out of you, Andy.
And I read this morning that Krishnan Gurumurthy is going to be taking part...
He wasn't there as well, was he?
No, he
would have been about five. Knocking all the bits off the board.
He was... he's going to be in the Strictly Come Dancing tour. But I knew this before I read it, because as I left the Brentford...
Well, you're clearly well connected.
I am. As I left the Brentford game, and bring it back to sport, as I left the Brentford-Arsenal game on Saturday, I turn around to my right.
Yeah.
I'm all right, wasn't it?
Who was
right. Him. Oh. And he's saying to this fella, oh, yes, I'm signed up for the Strictly tour. I'm going on the tour.
Wow.
So I leaned in.
You should be working in the Sun's Bazaar column. You're like the showbiz man with his ear to the ground, albeit 48 years later. I'm hearing Ronnie Wood is stepping out with a 48-year-old news gossip brought to you by Andy Jacobs.
I heard him saying to this bloke, and anyway, I turned around to him and said, oh, you were very good on Strictly. He didn't need me to say that.
Yeah, you need a bit of crawling, Andy. You're a good crawler, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Yeah. You probably slag him off on the show.
He didn't seem to really want to talk to me, which I... You know, he kept talking to this other bloke. I don't know if he was with him. He's probably his friend.
Yeah, you know. I mean, if knowing what you're like, if you were, like, walking along with a friend and then someone else started joining in your conversation...
But if it was Krishnan Gurumurthy, I wouldn't...
Yeah, but wasn't, was it? He doesn't know you from a bar of soap, does he? You're just some annoying bloke leaving the ground.
Talking of newsreaders, I still wrote down the Clives from this week. We're not doing Mastermind anymore. But it was only one that I really liked, actually.
Oh, OK, right, the music's back.
It was at the Ocean films.
Mm.
Yes, the classic 1916 heist film, Ocean 11, its 2001 remake and subsequent films in the franchise. Oh, blimey. Not Ocean Heating and Plumbing of Buchanan Gardens NW10.
It's great. It's a little free ad. If it's a specialist subject on Mastermind, you may get a bit of free publicity.
But that's it, really.
We asked you about your rogues gallery. The VAR, and quite possibly the referee, will be in Newcastle's rogues gallery. And you think, well, they'll soon forget that. Let me take you back to 1976, because Albion Smudge has been in touch.
Oh, yeah.
Brighton fans of a certain age will never forget the referee, Ron Chalice. Crystal Chalice, as he was
the
known.
Chalice with the palace.
He annulled Rashid Harkouk. Remember Rashid Harkouk?
I remember
he Rashid annulled Harkouk. Rashid Harkouk to retake a pen that was saved because of encroachment by their player in a second replay of the FA Cup first round played at Stamford Bridge in 1976. Not that I hold a grudge yet. That's 1976. He's never forgotten the referee's name. What about that? Chris in Birmingham says, Rogues Gallery for Villa. Phil Dowd for not sending off Vidic in the second minute of the 2010 League Cup final after he brought Gabby down in the penalty area. Gabby's still smarting about that.
Mm.
Last man in front of the goal. We scored the pen but lost 2-1. They never forget, Andy. They never forget.
No,
officials.
No, people get upset about it. But you know, but VAR doesn't solve that. You know, now they just argue about the VAR. Whereas then, those days, they argued about the things. It just makes the game better without it, really. But what are you going to do? They're not going to do that. So
in case you missed the first hour, Andy has decided that we're going to have a Talk Sport march on IFAB. They're meeting in Glasgow soon. And Andy wants to do the show
from Glasgow. I have this vision of like a show from Glasgow. 1,000 talks. TalkSport listeners. You know,
just all decked out in yellow and black. Just a sea of yellow and black.
Sort of anti-VAR placards, you know, and sort of just stop VAR, I'm calling it.
Just stop VAR. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I feel like that's it. And we march slowly in front of Pier Luigi Colina's hire car.
Just stop Oliver. Well, it's not his fault. We can't single him out, can we? We can't single out Michael for that. We can't single him out for that.
It's a nice title, but it doesn't quite
work. It doesn't, because he doesn't deserve it. He's probably better than most of
it. Can I just say I ruined the producer's bake-off experience by... He was trying to do a Lightly Lads.
He's trying to do a bake-off Lightly Lads,
yeah. Bake-off Lightly Lads.
Get through the whole day today so he can watch it tonight.
Why don't we get the guy only one bake-off? And I told him it was. He went, oh, I was going to watch that tonight. He was really... He was so disappointed. I felt bad.
Yeah, well,
you do?
He might be joining us.
I hope
we're working on it.
Well, he's a big football fan and a PE teacher and a really good lad, so I think he'd be good.
Well, let's see what we can see what the team can deliver.
Sorry if anybody else is...
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've probably added to the... People, if you were another one trying to do a bake-off Lightly Lads, then do let us know. Also, if you've got any other crackpot rules, you're not going to do much better
what
than...
What else have you tried to Lightly Lad? Isn't a football match.
There isn't football. Yeah, if you've tried to get through the day not knowing something, how did it all fall apart? Andy has ruined it for the producer. A non-footballing Lightly Lads. And if you don't know what that is, then you're probably not going to come up with any anyway, because it'll take some explaining. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text 81089 or tweet to TSH&J this afternoon. If you've got any crackpot laws you want to introduce, IFAB are open to everything. They're going to give you a corner if your time wastes. So... On that basis, they'll let anything go. So if you've got any mad ideas, we will forward, via their friend, Martin Lipton, we will forward all ideas onto them.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, the familiar frame of 1-0 at the Arsenal is back. They've got more already this season than they had all of last season.
Yes, I was there on Saturday. They grounded out. They deserved to win, actually, to be fair.
Yeah.
Brentford had chances, but they had most of the play.
There's lots of reasons why I'm here to discuss some of those and see if I missed out. It's going to make a great deal of difference against Lens tonight in the Champions League. Is comedian Arsenal fan Ian Stone. Good afternoon, Ian.
Chaps.
Yeah, are you keeping?
I'm doing all right. I know what you're saying about 1-0 the Arsenal, but teams are, you know, doubling up on everyone, aren't they?
Well, that's what Bukayo Saka's been saying. He's been saying that, you know,
I did think they were less fluid. There was less movement on Saturday. I was watching them closely. I did.
Do you think that's got the way the Brentford set up or not?
I didn't understand the tactic. Did you understand, Ian, of taking so long over every throw on and corner? I couldn't quite work out. Why? They weren't time-wasting at that point. So.
No. It's all rather, I don't know, pedestrian. But it honestly, this season is weird. It's the most unsatisfactory great season that we've ever had, to be honest. Because, you know, we are top of the league. We're top of the Champions League group. Things are going well. And yet, it's hard to get excited, but you know what Alex Ferguson used to say? Stay in it. Just stay in it till April, and then we'll see where we go. And if we're still in the Champions League in April and still in the title race, I think every Arsenal fan would take that.
I was reading a piece saying that the kind of victim of the way they've been having to play now has been Odegaard, who's not been on the ball quite as much. Is that something you've noticed?
I noticed the piece that said exactly that. Yeah. And I think a lot of Arsenal fans went, oh, yeah, that is true, isn't it? Mm. And I think there is something in that. They're playing a different way. Listen, they're finding a way. And really, that's what good teams do, right? That is what good teams do. Obviously, there are still big teams left in the, you know, Man City and Liverpool are great. And in the Champions League, there's some great teams. But we're doing what we need to do. And going away at Brentford and winning is not a bad result. So
no, it's not. I thought Rice was excellent, I was saying on the show.
He's excellent. He's been excellent all season.
It's brilliant when you watch him close up.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know what he reminds me of? Kante. I remember when Kante came with Leicester in 2016 when they won the title. And they used to go on about Danny. It was Danny Drinkwater with Kante working both sides of him, right, in the centre and midfield. And he has a similar vibe to him, Declan Rice. He just always seems to be there. You go, where did he come from? And he does that all the time. So it's very impressive. But, it's not as exciting as last season.
I mean, it won't know any other reasons you pay a premium for Premier League ready players because you know they're going to hit the ground running. They've got no period of adaptation, have they, which you have with other players.
Well, except for Havertz. But he did score, enough.
He did score. Maybe we'll see if that was the springboard for him.
No, it won't be. That's what he does. He'll score. He might score in the next couple of games and then he won't score for 10 games. That's him.
Andy, you never know. Maybe he's finally found his home. It's taken 13 games.
Ever going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not. I watched him for 3 years, I'm telling you.
It's a position. Positional thing as well. I mean, I'm not sure where you played him, but I think we want him to fill in
everywhere.
That sort of...
played him everywhere. That's
you've tried
problem.
Him everywhere. Yeah,
that's the problem with him.
Might give him a go in goals.
They've even tried him at left back for
Germany,
haven't they?
Yeah.
He might get
and
a go in goal.
Really? And he scored.
Wouldn't that annoy Aaron Ramsdale if he ended up in goal?
Oh, no, sorry. We can laugh at all sorts of stuff, but I'm finding that quite upsetting.
Yeah. Will it be Raya tonight or Ramsdale?
Oh, yeah, it'll be Raya tonight. Raya is first choice. I'm not so sure that Rambo will play another game for us, actually. I think if we win tonight and there's a sort of dead rubber in the sixth game, he might play him in that. But other than that, I can't see him playing any more games. So I'm sad about it.
Yeah, he was a wreck in the first half.
I think we all felt for him. We know what he did. But according to the numbers, David Raya is better. I mean, I'm not sure according to most people's eyes. But
what's the feeling? When you're having a drink before the game and everybody's chatting, is the general consensus among Arsenal fans, the manager's got it right, he's got to be ruthless, it's all about winning? Or is there a bit of sympathy for the way it's been handled?
Well, there's loads of sympathy for Aaron Ramsdale because what he did for us, he did elevate us. I heard people talking about how he's not good enough and Jamie Carragher said he'd never win the title with him. But we all loved him because of the connection he had with the fans. Mm. So to bring in David Raya suddenly, unexpectedly, and he hasn't been a massive upgrade. If we brought in Edison or Alisson, we go, all right, they're better, aren't they? Mm. But David Raya, it doesn't seem that different. So there is a lot of sympathy, and it's his personality as well. He seems sad, and that makes us sad. You know, we have connections with these players, and... But football is a ruthless business and Mikel Arteta has got most of the big calls right. You know, Havertz in the 79th minute of the weekend, that sort of stuff. And I'm feeling like he's probably got this one right as well, but jury's out.
Are you going tonight, Ian?
I'm not going tonight. I've given my ticket to a couple of friends. I'm going to wait for the later rounds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they've started already. Good stuff.
You have to save yourself.
I know.
Yeah. Well, if you do catch up on telly, enjoy the game. We'll catch up with you. Are you busy comedy-wise? What are you up to at the minute?
I wanted to mention to you, the TNT Sports show we're doing, the football's on.
Oh,
we did a Newcastle one the other day and it was great fun. We're doing one at the Amex Stadium next Tuesday on the 5th of December. It's a Brighton special. Jules Breach, the TNT presenter, Stephen Sidwell and Stephen Grant. And if you go on the Brighton website, the club have given us a link and you can get tickets there, a fiver each. An hour of talking about Brighton. Quite a bit of fun.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We will reconvene tomorrow. Our guests, myself and Charlie, include Frank Skinner's popping in. You're going to miss you, Andy. It's a great show. You could only do Thursday. But he's popping in to see us tomorrow, myself and Charlie. And he's back for the spread. And Mark Butcher will join us to talk a bit of cricket, building up to our coverage of the Windies Tour that gets underway live and exclusive on TalkSport 2 on Sunday. Do hope you can join us. If not, the podcast will be available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.